Thank you for clapping for thank you, choir. That was beautiful. I'm getting feedback that you all hear me far better here than over there. So we're going to have to work on that because I like to be in both places. But I happen to know there's a wire that we could encircle the sanctuary with, and that it's just a pretty simple process. It's digital and works in places today, even in homes. And I had it installed in the last church I was serving, and I had many people tell me they've heard the first sermon they've heard in years. So we're going to have to explore that here, because in the last several weeks I've been hearing that comment, which is a good comment to make. Temptation does not mess around. That's our theme today. And I was writing a rhyme on this and asked Rebecca to have input into it. And I'll tell you about that as we conclude it. Temptation does not mess around. Look about. It appears to seep up from the ground. Temptation does not mess around. It may come straight at you or curve as though round. Temptation does not mess around. Be careful. One never knows where it may be found. Temptation doesn't mess around. Reaching deep within your heart and within your soul, once it grabs you, you are bound. For temptation does not mess around. Walk with Jesus along the way, his hand upon you will cure your wounds and rebuke your sounds. That word is zound, Z-O-U-N-D-S. Anybody know the word? It starts with a Z instead of an S. Rebecca said, "You can't conclude that with zounds, Dennis." She said, "It's great. Conclude it with wound." I said, "It doesn't rhyme. It just looks like the same on the paper." But then I remembered the story the last time I used the word zounds, speaking of temptation, not messing around. I was in seminary and learned the word, and I'd been there over a year by this time, but a friend of mine, another seminarian, we got this idea that we should put a scripture up on the board in every classroom once a week. And we signed it, we'd write the scripture up and we'd sign it Zounds, Z-O-U-N-D-S. And people start asking questions, who's doing this and why? And one day we're in the pastoral care class teaching us how to be good pastors and do counseling and things. And the professor said, "The wrath is going to come upon these students if they continue to do this." So we kind of decided we would do it one more time and then hold off on our temptation of just being ornery in seminary. But temptation doesn't mess around. It's all about. Boy, if you want to be tempted as a preacher, and you're coming up with a sermon for a Sunday morning, all you got to do is Google the theme, and you can find endless sermons on temptation. It would be so easy to walk in here and just read you a sermon that I stole online. I could imagine the preachers are doing that today, because they're everywhere. But there's some wonderful quotes I found online about temptation. The gospel story, this comes from someone who wrote a book called God with a Human Face. The gospel story seems to invite us to regard the final three temptations as a kind of final exam, covering all the other temptations that would have been encountered in the course of the 40 days. The final exam. They all seem to talk about this being the final exam. The great theologian of the last century, who was the nation's theologian on the front of Time magazine in World War II, Reinhold Niebuhr, said, "There always arises a new pearl of evil on every level of good." Temptation does not mess around. In being tempted to use another sermon, here it is, entitled "The Wilderness Exam," the Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor. She's one of the best preachers in America today, and she's an Episcopalian theologian and teaches in a seminary. And so she wrote this sermon and preached it somewhere. But she says, every time the devil offered Jesus more bread, more power, and more protection, and it became a fact that the devil quotes the Bible just like Jesus does. Looking that up, we all know that the devil can quote the scripture, but Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy in this passage. The devil quotes from Psalm 91. It's interesting that the devil knows the Psalms, as I look those up. But Barbara Brown Taylor goes on, when it's our turn, none of us is going to get the Son of God test like Jesus did. We're going to get the regular old Adam and Eve test, which means that the devil won't need much more than all-you-can-eat buffet and a tax refund to turn our heads, because, as I add, the temptation does not mess around. She goes on with many quotes in that sermon. I would see so easily a preacher could just give it forth and not be honest to the congregation of where it came from. You see, temptation is all about our lives. It's not always a bad thing, because it's not a bad thing to do the things that God gave us gifts to have and to do. It's not a bad thing to want to have an intimate relationship with someone, but it is a bad thing to abuse it with a partner or someone that we really don't love. It's not a bad thing to want to eat those sweets that we see and that we give up during Lent. But we all know that they have the time that we have to say and we refrain from having them for our health or whatever it is in our lives. But those things are part of our lives. But temptation doesn't mess around with us. Temptation is there whether it's a nation or a corporation. Temptation doesn't mess around. Now that I am back spending the next, now less than 60 days, being in West Virginia on several days a week to be what, it's a word that people has a negative connotation, lobbyist. I am officially a lobbyist. I call myself a lobbyist for justice in West Virginia. And I have four clients. And I represent them, and I get to West Virginia Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I was there Thursday this week to start working in the legislature with my clients and with all the delegates. But having done that now, this is for 10 years, I know that temptation doesn't mess around when you're there at the Capitol, in this case, West Virginia. The city of Charleston was a city of we used to have so many chemical plants. And we used to all say all the chemicals seemed to collect up there in the dome of the Capitol. And once the session starts, they seem to filter down and infect everybody's brain. But we don't have as many chemical plants there anymore. But we know that no matter how good and honest a legislature and how much integrity they have, the temptation doesn't mess around when it comes to us having good legislative issues to care for those who need care for in our society. But Temptation doesn't mess around, even if you're a child. I can share so many stories of being tempted as a child. I was raised by South High School in Columbus. Our house, the back of our house, in our backyard, was right across the alley from the South High School football field and the football stadium for the home team. Matter of fact, we had a garage roof that was flat, and we would, my dad would put the lawn chairs up on top of our garage roof, and we would all sit there and watch the football games. And everybody at South kind of got to know us because we were always on the garage roof. Of course, I would sneak out and want to go into the where the action was and see the game, and my father wouldn't pay my way because you could sit right here with us. So I would sneak into the game, and I remember the time that the police officer caught me and I got the leather strap off the end of his billy club. But where I want to go with this is that there was so much temptation of always playing at the high school. There was about a dozen boys right in my street, right in the neighborhood there, and we were always there playing. And when it wasn't football season, we would be playing home run derby on the not on the baseball diamond, but on the football field, because we could hit the ball far enough to go across the fence into the other bleachers on the other side and think we'd hit a home run. But we always had wore a bare spot on the 50-yard line on the football field. The poor maintenance crew that had to maintain the building around us neighborhood kids. One time they put a new press box up on top of the home team side, and that was the days that you didn't buy windows and insert them. You made the windows there, and they built the windows, and they'd put putty all around them. And we got up there, and we're looking at them, and trying to inspect everything, and we discovered this soft putty stuff. When we started peeling it off and making balls out of it and making clay items out of it, just think of those maintenance crews and what they had to go through trying to recover what we did. Whenever there was the gate would be open and we were home, we would get the word out through the neighborhood. That means we could go ride our bicycles in the parking lot. And it was a blacktop parking lot. Oh, and it was so much fun just to be free to ride in there when it was empty and no cars were in it. And every once in a while, I would get that opportunity. And we could go through exercises and do tricks on our bicycle. I could stand on our seat and still, and hold onto the handlebars. Or we could swing our feet over our handlebars and set out our handlebars and ride the bicycle. We didn't have any helmets. We just did this. But one evening, the word came out that the gates were open. It was a school night, but we all gathered together and started riding our bikes through the parking lot. It was a Friday. And lo and behold, the cars started pouring into the parking lot. There was an activity at the school. The young men got out, and they were wearing tuxedos. And the young women, the high school senior girls, were wearing beautiful long prom dresses. It was the senior dinner that they had as well as a senior prom. So we were riding our bicycles, cars were pulling in, and we had noticed that day earlier that the maintenance crew had changed the light bulbs up on the lights above the football field. And they're up there going up there on those high cranes that raised them up there, or some of them they even had to climb with a ladder, and they'd bring the old bulb down and it would be a giant bulb. I mean, it was big. So we watched that. And then as we're riding our bikes around, and we looked down at the pit, we called it. It was a concrete pit about 8 feet deep and very wide, had railings around the top so that the windows of the high school cafeteria could be there, because the cafeteria was underground in the basement. And those windows would be 8 foot tall. And we would climb down in those pits and see how we could get out of them. That was something we did. But on this night, were riding around, were looking down the pit and seeing the beautiful girls in their gowns and the guys in their tuxedos and the people making speeches at the dinner, things going on, and we're riding our bicycles. And finally, someone, we go by the trash can and there's those light bulbs. And one grabs one and we all grab a light bulb. We're holding our bicycle handrail with one hand, our light bulb with another, riding around through the parking lot. Lo and behold, we're looking down into the pit, seeing all the dinner going on, and one of the guys says to me, "I dare you to drop your light bulb down that pit." Well, we rode around some more, back and forth to the gate, and finally, I went up there and looked down in there. I didn't give it a big throw, I just gave it a little toss. He went down into the concrete pit, and kaboom! The girls screamed. The boys jumped up and headed for the door. And we all started riding our bicycles as fast as we could. The rest of my buddies just dropped their light bulbs right there on the parking lot. We went through the gates and out the driveway to the parking lot, and then we turned on the street where my house was. We made a right turn there. We made a right turn in my dad's driveway. We went right into that long, flat garage with our bicycles, and we stayed there late into the evening until someone said, "I better get home, for I'm going to be in trouble if I come home late." We were scared to death. Monday morning came. We were scared all weekend. I walked on my way to my school, my elementary school. Had to go the opposite way of the high school students. But we all met at a store called Willie's, and we'd go in and buy something, and I'd buy a little snack for lunch at school. I went in there, and it got real quiet, and all the guys in there said nothing. But then one said, as they looked at me, "If we find out who dropped the bulb, he's never going to walk again or ride a bicycle again." I just kept quiet and walked out. Temptation doesn't mess around, I'll tell you. We were in church one morning. I was a young pastor, and I remembered that story, and I was incorporated into a sermon. My mother happened to show up in church that day. She had never heard the story before. I haven't put that on Facebook at South High School to confess that I've been the one. But temptation doesn't mess around. It will bind us up, control our lives. This Lenten season, we're going to be focusing on that theme each Sunday. Temptation doesn't mess around. For it's in our lives, it's in our church. It was even before our Lord Jesus Christ, who was tempted three times. He had been in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, just like Moses had done it before him, and prayed and fasted and had a spiritual journey and got closer even to God, if there's such a thing for Jesus to do. Even at that point, imagine, that's when the devil really came out. When we feel closest to God, that's when quite often we're most vulnerable to temptation, and we don't even realize it. So I ask you to join the journey. I'll share the rhyme one more time. "Look about, it appears to seep up from the ground. Temptation doesn't mess around. It may come straight at you or curve as though round, and it doesn't mess around. Be careful, one never knows where it may be found. Temptation doesn't mess around. Unlikely to arrive with an alarm containing a frightened sound. Temptation doesn't mess around. Reaching deep within your heart, within your soul, Once it grabs you, you're bound. And it doesn't mess around. So walk with Jesus along the way. And he'll cure your wounds. And if you have any zounds, any anger, any indignation, he'll cure your zounds. Amen.